Sometimes I actually do this stuff not only daily, sometimes I do it hourly. You know, not necessarily this, but when I'm going through something or I'm in a battle or I know somebody's going through a battle and I'm trying to help that person, what I do is I make sure that I stay word-centered. Because if you don't get word-centered, listen carefully, if you don't stay word-centered, you'll get emotion-centered. And I promise you, you cannot win this battle emotion-centered. You have to stay word-centered. When my emotions, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above anything else, meaning your emotions can get you. Your emotions can really mess you up. And so you got to stay on the word. You got to. That's why it tells us to meditate on it. That's why he told Joshua. Joshua had a big job. He told Joshua, Moses is dead. Now get on up. Let's go in here and get land. He said, I need you to be strong and courageous. He said, I want you to stay in God and stay or meditate on the word day and night. That word meditate really means just to mutter it under your breath. So God says, I'm strong. God says, I'm strong. Let the weak say, 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 I'm strong. But sometimes I go through and I say, let the weak say, I'm strong. Or at times I may go through and say, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. When you're in the middle of a battle, no weapon against me is going to prosper. No weapon against me is going to prosper. You know what I'm doing? I'm programming my spirit. I'm letting the word override my emotions. Because if you let your emotions take over, guess what? Again, it's so simple. We lose. This is not emotions. Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, yeah, yeah. yes, I've done that before. I said, Lord, today it's got to be me and you and mostly you. Yeah, well, I'm going to read this from last week just so we can kind of keep up. And the Lord started dealing with me. I think he woke me up and showed me this. I'm going to make a booklet with all these in it. And it's going to be a booklet journal. And on one side, each day, here's how it's going to be. On one side, it's going to have all the lie and the truth and all this stuff. And on the other side, it's just going to have some lines so you can write in your journal. Flip it over day two. It's a seven-day journal. And each day, all you got to do is read one truth each day. And day one, and see, I won't put Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday because your day one might not be on Wednesday. It may be on Friday. Your day one may be Sunday. So, and it's going to be a little journal, and so you're going to make it and going to pass them out, and everybody here on Tuesday nights, they're going to get one. But I've been praying about it and exactly what to do, because if the books actually take off, then there may be a little charge for the other, they have to put them on the table or something, because it's going to be expensive to make the booklets. Yeah, but y'all get y'all's, because you're here, you know what I'm saying? Y'all in the middle of it, y'all get your booklet, but maybe $1 a piece, so just the cost for all the printing. If it goes off, if it don't go off, then y'all got the only books and published, and 100 years from now, it'll be worth some money, maybe 50 cents. especially if you were to strap a quarter to it. Strap a dollar to it. Oh, we'll be out to rise to the rapture. That's right. That's right. Okay. I know I just don't ever like charging for anything, but sometimes, and again, y'all's won't be if we make the book, because we're gonna make them, you know, the first set. If it goes good, really good, we'll go ahead and get a professional person to make them. But I think it'd be good to have a 7-day journal so you can stop and reflect. Maybe in the journal side, just say reflections. Yeah, just reflections and place to put. But. Day one, my new family. The lie is, I can't feel valuable unless I'm loved and accepted by my family and the significant people in my life. The truth is, I have God-given value because I've been placed into a new family where I'm unconditionally loved. I'm chosen by God. I'm adopted by God. I'm a child of God, and I'm born again. Day number two, my new characteristics. The lie is, I never feel valuable because this is just the way I am. I cannot change. The truth is, I have God-given value because God has changed me on the inside, given me new characteristics. I'm a new creation. I have a new nature. I have a new heart. I have a new spirit. I have a new mind. And there's times where when I can't seem to think, and when I'm having those times, you know, stress can make you not be able to think. You think you're losing your mind. It's not, it's just stress. And so here's an example. Say you've got one person, especially an elderly person, taking care of their spouse who has Alzheimer's. The person with Alzheimer's really can't remember, okay? The person that's taking care of them can be under so much stress that they actually can mimic, not meaning to, but their memory, their persona mimics the person with Alzheimer's because of the stress. So is it stress-induced? Is it medically induced? Is it chronic? You know, so again, when you get in those kind of situations where you're really having a hard time thinking, I always say the Lord has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And the word sound mind really means clear thinking. The ability to think under pressure. That's what it means, the ability to think under pressure. And so when I'm having that kind of a day, I just go, nope, the Lord's given me a sound mind. He's given me the ability to think under pressure. Say that to yourself. Okay, that's awesome. He's given me the ability to think under pressure. When I'm under the gun, when the temptations are coming, when things are looking rough, God's given me the ability to think under pressure and to think clearly. All right, so now let's go to day three, and I'm just going to read this thing right here. 7 days of claiming your identity in Christ. In order for Christians to walk in victory, we need to identify the lies we believe about ourselves, exchange them for the truth about who we really are in Christ. Consider 7 lies we tell ourselves, 7 truths from God's word. For lasting change, we must cast aside the lies and rely on God's truth. Here it goes. Day number 3. We've already gone through day 1 and day 2. We're going to go to 3 and 4 today. Day 3, my new clothing. All right, this isn't like the emperor's new clothes, okay? The Bible tells us when we get to heaven, we're going to have white robes, okay? So it's going to be cool because we're clothed in His holiness. We're clothed in Christ, okay? So here it goes. Lie. I can't feel value. Please listen to this because this is the biggest lie Satan is telling, and this is propelling the prosperity gospel. It propels it, okay? I can't feel I have value unless I live in the right neighborhood, driving the right car, and wearing the right clothes. That's crazy. That's crazy. Isaiah didn't do that. Matter of fact, there was a time Isaiah did preach naked. Okay? And John the Baptist, he wore camel hair. He looked like a biker. You know, you think that you've got to have everything just right. You know what I'm talking about? You got to have the nicest car, the nicest clothes, or God's not blessing you. That's not blessing me. If you're not careful, the blessing will curse you. Okay? So you don't want the blessing to curse you. All right? So here it is. I have God-given value because I have new residence in God's kingdom and new clothing in Christ. Again, now God wants to bless us. Don't get me wrong. He wants to bless us. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, the seed begging bread. We're not here saying you're not God if you don't live in poverty, because that's not it either. God, no. What I'm saying is, though, we're blessed to be a blessing. That's the whole reason God blesses us, to be a blessing, okay? So here it is. I have God-given value because I have a new residence in God's kingdom, new clothing of Christ. I am clothed with Christ. All right, watch this. All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Galatians 3:27. And I'm clothed in Christ. Actually, think about it this way. When the prodigal son came back home, he said, put a robe on him. Put the best robe on him. All right. He came back home and it was a symbol that he belonged to the family. Okay, when Satan sees us, he points out all of our impurities, all of our flaws. He points out everything that's wrong with us. But when Christ sees us, when God's looking at Christ, or excuse me, when God's looking at us, he sees Christ. Clothed in Christ. Clothed in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Clothed in Christ. That's what he sees. We have a garment of holiness. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. Number 2, I'm baptized into the body of Christ. Or I'm baptized into Christ. We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Romans 6:4. There's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you are saved, you are baptized into the body of Christ. This is not water baptism. This is baptizing the body of Christ through the new birth. We are baptized into the body. Water baptism is an outward show of an inward work. That's the inward work. Right? But the outward work is an ordinance. It's just obeying, being obedient unto God. Then, I'm hidden in Christ. If you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God, meaning, guess what? Satan's going to have a problem finding me sometime. I'm hid in Christ. There's times he wants to hit me and he wants to shoot at me, and God says, not today. Have you ever had one of those days where just everything was just smooth? Every now and then, sometimes. But you know what? On your worst of days, you know what? If God removed that veil, can you imagine what you'd have gone through that day? That's right. I mean, even on my worst day, if I'm hid in Christ, can you imagine what it'd be like if he pulled the shield away? Wow. Shield's up, Scotty. That's right. They would hit the target. I'm sealed with the Spirit of Christ. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guarantee, and our inheritance to the redemption of those who are Christ's possession, to the praise of his glory. Again, he called it the earnest of the Spirit. You know what earnest is? It says the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit, whenever somebody would come to buy a piece of land, or they wanted, if anybody ever come, you were trying to sell something, and somebody come up to you and ask you how much it was, and they say, you say, okay, it's $100. And they say, well, all I got is $5. Well, I'll go get the $100, but can I leave you $5 so you'll hold it until I can come give all of it to you? You know what that's called? Earnest money. Not Edward Earnest money. Eddie Ernest Edwards money. No, this is earnest money. Earnest money is like you have a car for sale in the yard. You want $2,000 for it. The guy comes by and he's not prepared to buy it. He tries to buy and sees it and goes, wow, that's awesome, man. I've been looking for one of those cars. Well, you got $2,000? No, but give me a week or two. It'll be sold by then. I got people looking for it. Well, how about if I give you, I got $100. Can I give you $100? And you hold it for me. If I don't come back, keep the money. If I ain't back in 2 weeks, the money's yours. Again, that's earnest money, meaning, yeah, security deposit. It's earnest money, meaning I am serious about what I'm going to give you. I might give it to y'all at one time. So we haven't even, that's why the Bible says we haven't even begun to see and to think and to feel what God has for us. So what he's done for the earnest is he sent his Holy Spirit. And so now the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Again, that's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We'll talk about that later. This is being baptized into the body of Christ. The Spirit dwelling in you. Very powerful. We're sealed with the Spirit of Christ. And I'm given the full armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And having done everything to stand, stand. Wow. Having done everything to stand. Let's get me a Bible out here so I won't get this all mixed up. Isn't God good? Isn't electronics good? Sometimes. Okay. Oh, it was her phone. I thought she was a robot. That does not compute, Will Robertson. Will Robertson. Okay, here we go. All right. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Or that word wiles is really very powerful, because that word wiles means his travesty, his trickery, his cunning arts, his lying in wait. He'll lie in wait like a spider. You ever seen a spider? He'll build that nest, not his nest, but his web, and then he'll get over to the side and kind of hide. and he'll wait till that fly hits. And when the fly hits that trap, the fly's trying to get out of the trap. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, when that trap fly gets out, he's stuck and he can't get out. And the more he tries to get out, the worse it gets. And then the spider just walks right across it and spins that web and backs off, and that fly will die, and then he'll eat it. You know why the spider doesn't stick to that web? Well, that's a good thought. He has little pockets that produce oil. And the oil's in his pocket. Not his pockets, pocket. You know, like, just like water gun. So his hands don't ever stick to the web like that because he's greased. Now, guess what we got? We got the Holy Ghost. He keeps us greased too. And so when the enemy's trying to get us caught up in the trap and wrapped all around, we got the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, the oil, the holy anointing oil, to keep us from getting caught up in that trap. That's pretty cool. That's just a sideline, but I thought it was pretty cool. All right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Think of that word, withstand. That means to set it one against, to oppose, actually to be ready to do battle, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, have on the breastplate of righteousness, on your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So again, we got that full armor of God. When you get up in the morning, here's another thing you can put on besides doing the day one, day two, day three. Well, when you get up in the morning, especially if you're having a hard time. You know, I was reading in my psychology about PTSD and some other things, and it said one of the good things to help you, and PTSD is not just for military guys. PTSD, that's combat PTSD. But if you've ever been in a car wreck, that's the number one reason for PTSD in the United States is car wrecks. If you've ever been in a car wreck or you've ever suffered a traumatic loss, or especially if you saw the traumatic loss, it doesn't matter how long you were. It's not the time from here to here that you were exposed. All it takes is one exposure. Just one glimpse through the curtain can give you PTSD. You ain't got to be behind the curtain and be through it all. Just some of those guys go through years and everything's fine, and they see one thing, and there it is. What it does is it keeps you on high alert at all times. It keeps you at high alert. You're always in a survival mode, and so even the smallest challenges wind up putting you in that survival mode. All right, so you have to be careful. But here's one way to help. Get up in the morning, work out, exercise, hit the floor, do some push-ups, run around in circles. And here's another good one. When you get up in the morning, you help the dog chase his tail. So I see this. When you get up in the morning, have your loins girt about. Literally do this. Say, I'm girding my loins around with truth. I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness. And now my insides are protected. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now my feet, my path is protected. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And that's where I quench the fiery darts of the wicked. I got the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And when you do all that and you really literally put it on, you begin to feel empowered. It's a powerful thing to do that. So this is your new clothing, day three. Here's day four. Day four is my new life. So we've talked about our new family. We've talked about new characteristics on day two. Day three, our new clothing. Day four, our new life. The lie is, my life has no value since I've done so many things wrong. My life is ruined. I hear that. I can't tell you how many times I hear that. If we go to PCDC, we hear that all the time at PCDC. I hear that all the time when I'm talking to people. Wherever I go, it seems like I always wind up talking to people about things. I mean, it's like, you know, it just always happens. I know what it is. It's God. And that's one of the biggest things I hear is I've messed up so much. My life's ruined. God can't use me. But let me just tell you this. You don't have enough for what you cannot mess up enough to mess up what God's got planned for you. You say, well, how in the world can you say that? It's simple. If God already knows your beginning from your end and your end from your beginning, then He's already put in that allowance for the time you took the left turn when you took the right turn. He's already made an allowance for the time you stood up when you should have sat down. He made an allowance for it. And so He already knows you're going to wind up over there. So what He's going to do is wherever you mess up, He's going to have somebody there to direct you, somebody there, a lesson to learn, so you can go to the next stage. And so no matter how bad things look, and you say, God, I've messed up too bad to be used by you, all right, here's a good old Hebrew word I want you to practice. Okay? That's a Hebrew raspberry. You can't mess up enough for God not to be able to use you. All right? So here we go. My new life, my life has no value. I've done so many things wrong. My life is ruined. Here's the truth. I have God-given value, for I have been given a new life in Jesus Christ. We had in our meeting on Saturday night, our chaplain meeting, one of the guys stood up. A guy came in and stood up and gave his testimony. And when he came up to give his testimony, I found out that he was incarcerated, I reckon 6 months or more. And Brother Bose, remember Brother Bose with the hat? Okay. Brother Bose told him, said, when you get out of here, look me up. He did. And he gave his testimony. And he said that all the chaplains coming in was always so awesome. He learned so much, and he finally gave his life over to Christ. And he said he didn't think God could use him because he'd done some wrong things. And then he said he found out that was right the opposite. And he said even when he left, the guys pulled him to the side and said, can you pray for us one more time? He got saved there, and he was ministering to everybody. It was just an awesome thing. All right, so now, here it is. Here's my new life. First, I'm redeemed. All of us are redeemed. I wrote bought back there. You see, Satan, we were already going out to the highest bidder. And Satan had us. And God said, I want him back. So Jesus died on the cross. And he paid the price. So when you accepted that, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Ephesians 1:7. Now am I redeemed, bought back, I'm washed, I'm cleaned up. So think about this thing. All right, there's this little boy. This little boy made him a boat. Hand-carved it himself. Little sailboat. He was out sailing it one day, and a big wind came by and bad weather, and it blew his boat away, and he had to run to shelter. When he come back out, his boat was gone. It tore him up because he couldn't find his boat. Months went by. He's walking down Main Street and looked in the window of a pawn shop. And there was his boat. And he walked in. And he asked the man, he said, that's my boat right there. Can I have it? He says, no, son, that's not your boat. That's my boat. He said, if you want, it's going to cost you $1. So he went out and he worked for it. Sacrificed. He came back in and gave that dollar and got his boat back. He took his boat and he was so happy with that boat. He walked out there and he took his boat up and held it and says, I love you. I love you, boat. He said, matter of fact, I own you twice. He said, first I made you, and then I bought you. I own you twice. God made us, and he bought us. That's powerful. Amen? So not only did he buy us back, if you buy a car, I remember my first car I got. I washed the license tag, the numbers off the license tag. I washed it so much. I don't have that problem anymore. Now, if you don't see my license tag, it's not because I washed the numbers off. It's because you got to move the dirt out of the way. So he bought us back, but then I'm washed. I'm cleaned up. If you get your car, get your house, whatever, you're going to go out on a date, whatever, you clean up, right? This is what some of you were, wicked. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:11. I am washed. I'm cleaned up. So he bought me back, but he didn't leave me like I was when he found me. It's one thing to buy you back and leave you like you were. Okay? It's another thing to buy you and then clean you up. So he bought us back, then he cleaned us up. Then I'm purified, propped up. Propped up. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we will have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus. His Son purifies us from all sin. So not only has he bought us back, he cleaned us up, and then he propped us up. So now we don't have to go back into that old life. What the Bible said about the man that his house was swept clean, demons were out, and then he didn't fill it back up. What happened? The seven times worse, right? And so, again, he buys us back, he cleans us up, then he props us up. He fixes us so we don't have to go back. And when we're like that, here's the cool one, I'm justified, face up. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word peace with God means peace facing God. Have you ever been upset with somebody, maybe your spouse or your kid or something, or somebody, and you had a hard time looking them in the face? Or they were mad at you, and you had a hard time looking them, or they wouldn't look you in the face. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah. Well, knowing what I did to God, I got to hold my head down. I can't look at him. But since he's told me that my son died so you can look me in the face, I can put my head up. Wow. That's a whole different relationship. You see, there was a missionary that I knew. He went to Haiti, and he said in Haiti, all down the street were little gods. And he said the gods were made out of stone, and some were made out of wood, and some were made out of clay. And every last one of them had a hole in the back of them. They went all the way through. He said the hole was there for the spirits to go through that god and empower it. And he said they were selling them for nickels and dimes and stuff. And he said, one guy said, don't you want to buy one of my gods? You can hold it in your hand. He says, why do I need to buy one of your gods that I can hold in my hand? He says, my God bought me, and he holds me in his hand. That's powerful. So, he buys us back, he cleans us up, he props us up. Now we can face him. And not only can we face him, but I'm sanctified. Again, washed up. That washed up doesn't mean that you're up on the side of the beach and there's nothing, you're over, it's through. Now what it means is I'm sanctified. See, justified, matter of fact, I think I told you this, but I know I have. Justified means it's justified, never done it. No matter how bad you've been, if you've gone to God and asked him for forgiveness, and then Satan comes to him and goes, well, hold on, David Linton did such and such, and I got proof. I wrote it down. Here it is. Such and such night, such and such time, David Linton did that. And God says, he picks up the paper and goes, oh, all I see is the blood of Christ. Show me. Wow. So when you think about that, here we are again. I'm bought back, cleaned up, propped up, faced up, and I'm washed up. Amen. Because you were washed. You were sanctified, justified, the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:11. When you think about this, I'm not standing on my own. It's not me. I've done nothing to deserve all this. But guess what? God thought I was, look, he loved me enough, he thought I was to die for. That's right. So, all of this and all that, those 4 days, all of this stuff that you're reading these 4 days is grace. Matter of fact, you can even put up at the top of it, grace, because that's what it is. Grace. Grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. He did it. Because of him, I've got a new family. Because of him, I have a new characteristic. Because of him, I've got new clothing. Because of him, I have a new life. So every morning when you get up, I want you to look. And if you don't have time to do all of them, just mark it and do day one. Just do one of them each day. But I want you to say it out loud, because if you say it out loud, it's a better chance that you'll remember it. If you say it inside, you know, just read over it and go on, you might not remember. If you say it out loud and say it 2 or 3 times, your mind will start clicking and saving it, and it's gonna be there for you. Is there any questions? Any comments? Y'all are looking awful quiet. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but he tells me every day. He reminds me of something I've done years ago. He reminds me of something that I didn't do. He'll remind me of something. You know, it's constant because he is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us. He accuses, well, you know what? If you're a preacher, then why did you think this? If you're a preacher, then why did you do this? Well, if you really, as a matter of fact, here's what you know. If you're hearing this from your own spirit, or you're hearing this from somebody else, I'm going to tell you where it comes from. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be having this problem. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have done that. If you really knew God like you say you knew God, then no, this wouldn't have happened. And you know what you got to tell him is, watch this, get behind me, Satan. You know, Jesus, when the enemy said, if you be the Son of God, make these stones bread. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down off the temple. There's going to be somebody there to catch you. If you be the Son of God, worship me. If you be the Son of God. If you're a Christian, you wouldn't be thinking this way. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be having this battle. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be acting this way. That is the accuser of the brethren attacking. And even Peter, when Jesus said in Matthew 16, he says, who do men say I am? Who do men say I am? And they said, see, John the Baptist, you're Elias, you're one of the prophets. He said, but who do you say I am? He says, you're Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed the Son to you, but Christ. I mean, excuse me, the Holy Spirit has revealed this God. And then he turns around in the same chapter. And Peter, he tells him, I'm going to go die on the cross. And Peter says, no, you're not going to die. You can't do this. And he tells Peter just a few minutes later, he then told him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. Then he turns right around and says, looks at Simon and says, get thee behind me, Satan. In the same chapter. Wow. So don't let the enemy play this little blame game with you. You know, there's been times you said, well, you know, if you were truly a child of God, you wouldn't have done that or thought that or said that. And I say, well, guess what? You've come too late. Remember last week? Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Grace. Maybe. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's not that. It's cool. It's cool that you gotta fight. You've always gotta fight Satan with the word, because I promise you, that's what Jesus did in the wilderness. He's the Son of God. And when he was under those temptations, what did he fight him with? The word. Because he was our prime example. He was trying to show us. Not trying to, he did show us that we can win. But you got to use the word, because your emotions will. For the word of God. It's like this. If you've seen me show up before, here's your emotions, here's the word. If the word is led by your emotions, but if this is the word, here's your emotions. There's the word, and your emotions will eventually level out because you got the word. And people get mad when you throw the word out, because they go, doesn't anything bother you? Yeah, who do you think you are? I'm not talking about going to somebody and beating them up with the word. I'm talking about they come to you and go, well, I don't know how you can get out of this one. And you go, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. You go, is that all you got to say? That's all I need to say. Amen? Amen. All right. So, everybody good? Everybody ready to go home? Go ahead, bro. That's right. That's exactly right. Yes. I'll be riding down the road and I'll go, Lord, well, there it goes. Here it is, Lord. This is yours because I can't handle it. I'm out of this one. I'm out of it. Next week's going to be awesome. It's going to be, you know why it's going to be awesome? Because it's going to be day 5. And maybe 6. Wow. And if this isn't so long, I kind of hate to mess it up by doing 3 days at one time. So, again, remember, we're going to have a little booklet. The Lord woke me up and just showed me a little booklet how to make it. So that's what it's going to be. It's going to be my 7-day journey. And I'm not sure what to call it yet. 7-day journey back to Him. 7-day journey back to sanity. Yeah, 7-day journey. Yeah. That's enough, my 7-day journey. And remember, one side's going to be your day, and the other side's going to be reflections. And you can just keep doing just little reflections back and forth. Amen, yes, whatever. Or not write anything down until something actually really, really strikes you hard. If it really strikes you hard, and you can go back and go, wait a minute. Next time you read it, go, oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Amen. You know, like my daddy's favorite thing was, what were you thinking? And you know what I always tell him? Well, Dad, if I was thinking, I wouldn't have done it. God is good all the time. I'm not sure, but I think the rest of that verse from Sunday about the eagle, the rest of that verse is going to be on this week coming up, unless the Lord changes it. And so it's going to be about walking and not be weary, running and not faint. The mountain with wings as eagles. And so it's gonna be awesome. But God is so good to us. If we just trust Him and know that right now we're priming the pump. We're priming the pump. And the pump gets rolling. It's gonna be awesome. Amen. We're priming it. Just trust God. It's gonna be awesome. Everybody that's standing. Brother Bean, would you just miss us in prayer, please?